This is Don Hollenbeck on top of the pyramidal temple of the Aztec war god in Mexico City. On this 30th of June, 1520, a short distance away from us, the Aztec priests are beating their giant assembly drum. It is summoning the Emperor Montezuma and Prince Cuitlahua to their meeting in the square below us, in front of the royal palace. General Hernando Cortez and his Spanish expedition are trapped in that palace where they hold Montezuma as hostage. The meeting between the Aztec Emperor and Prince Cuitlahua, who commands the besieging forces, will determine whether Montezuma will order his warriors to lift the siege and let the Spaniards leave the city unharmed, or to attack and destroy the Spanish invaders, even if it costs Montezuma his life. The slow, ponderous rhythm of the huge Aztec drum is rolling and echoing through the square. 10 giant priests are beating it in unison. The drum is...
June 30th, 1520, Mexico City. You are there.
The Aztec people wait to learn whether their emperor, the fabulous Montezuma, a prisoner of General Cortez, will betray them to save his own life. CBS takes you back 429 years to a drama of treason and death in the conquest of Mexico. All things are as they were then, except for one thing. When CBS is there...
You are there.
You Are There, produced and directed by Robert Louis Cheyenne, is based on authentic historical fact and quotations. And now...
Mexico City, the temple of the Aztec god of war... And Don Hollenbeck.
The fate of the Cortez expedition and the destiny of Montezuma, traitor or national martyr. The Emperor Montezuma has been a hostage of the Spanish this past month, ever since General Cortez invaded the Aztec sanctuaries and destroyed the images of their gods. At that time, the Emperor ordered the Spaniards to leave Mexico. Instead, General Cortez seized Montezuma. The Aztecs then laid siege to the royal palace. They didn't attack. Out of fear for their Emperor's life, they hoped to starve the Spaniards into submission. Then yesterday, General Cortez arranged a truce with Prince Cuitlahua. The prince is Montezuma's younger brother, commander of the besiegers. General Cortez said the emperor wished to speak to the prince as the commander of the royal armies. There's been no official indication of what the emperor plans to say, but unofficially, Spanish officers have told us that Montezuma has promised General Cortez he will order the siege lifted. That meeting will take place on a pavilion set up in the square below us, directly in front of the entrance to the palace. 100,000 Aztec warriors are drawn up down there in the square. Beyond them, the avenues leading to the square are packed with Aztec civilians waiting for a glimpse of their emperor. The rooftops around the square are also crowded with watchers. In the distance, we see the blue lakes which ring the city beyond the towering snow-tipped mountains of Mexico. The priests have now stopped beating the assembly drum. John Daly at the pavilion reports that Prince Cuitlahua has arrived there, so down to John Daly.
Prince Cuitlahua is standing a few feet away from us in conversation with his officers. He's a tall man, athletic and bronzed, wears armor of hammered gold, over it a surcoat of brilliantly colored feathers. His helmet is of polished silver, and his officers are also brilliantly attired. The Aztecs, of course, love colorful dress. Less colorful are the heads of several murdered Spaniards displayed on the tips of the spears of a line of Aztec warriors who accompany Cuitlahua's party. The Spaniards were captured by the Aztecs during the siege and were sacrificed to the Aztec god of war. Unless Montezuma means to secure a safe exit for Cortez and his men, the remaining Spaniards may very well meet a similar fate. Prince Cuitlahua has ended his conversation. He's coming this way. Your Highness, have you any idea why the Emperor Montezuma has summoned you to this meeting?
Attack. The emperor will command us to attack the palace and destroy the invaders.
But, Your Highness, the Spanish officers say that Montezuma has promised General Cortez that he will command you to lift the siege and let the Spaniards go.
Promised? The emperor would promise anything to get the opportunity to speak to his people. Montezuma has tricked General Cortez. His Majesty knows that we have been withholding the attack out of fear for the emperor's person.
Well, on that point, Prince Cuitlahua, the Spaniards suggest that General Cortez has threatened to kill Montezuma unless he makes good his promise.
That may be, but Aztecs do not fear death. My brother will die gladly, if need be, to defend the sovereignty of the Aztec nation.
I see. Well, then, you think the sovereignty of your nation is involved in the situation today?
The Spaniards are invaders. As long as they are alive, Mexico is not safe.
But, Your Highness, isn't it possible that Montezuma will ask you to let the Spaniards go? Doesn't he believe that they're immortal beings? Didn't your ancient prophets predict that white men would come to Mexico to overthrow the rule of the Aztecs?
Yes, our priests did make that prophecy. We Aztecs still believe that someday the true white gods will appear. The Spaniards are invaders, impostors. For a while we accepted them. We had never seen white men before, or horses, or guns, or cannon. We treated them as honored guests. And how did they repay our hospitality? They desecrated our temples, smashed our idols, and we knew they were men, men with false hearts. And to prove they are mortal, we have cut off the heads of many of them. And the other Spaniards behind the palace walls will die the same way.
Thank you, Prince Cuitlahua. The prince has rejoined his officers. There's still no sign of the Emperor Montezuma. He hasn't as yet left the royal palace, but General Cortez has appeared on the wall of the palace, and Doug Edwards is with him. So go ahead, Doug Edwards.
General Cortez still wears a blood-stained bandage over the wound he received in his right arm yesterday, a wound inflicted by an Aztec arrow. General Cortez, do you know what the Emperor Montezuma will say to Prince Cuitlahua?
Of course. The Emperor will say what I have told him to say. He will order that rabble of half-naked savages to lift the siege.
Did the Emperor promise to give that order?
He did.
Well, did he give you that promise willingly?
He did not.
Well, how do you know the Emperor won't trick you, General? Prince Cuitlahua suggested that a moment ago. Isn't it possible that when Montezuma actually meets Prince Cuitlahua, he will order the Aztecs to attack you?
When Montezuma speaks to that barbarian brother of his, 50 Spanish muskets will be aimed at his back. If the Emperor has really snared us, his dead body shall bait the trap.
But, General, Prince Cuitlahua argues that the Aztecs do not fear death. He thinks the Emperor would die gladly to rid Mexico of Spaniards.
Some of these pagans may not fear death, but I assure you that isn't true of their Emperor. You may recall that twice before the Aztecs rose up against us. Each time I prodded Montezuma gently with my sword, and he calmed his pagan hordes. He will do it again today.
But if you are mistaken, General, if Montezuma does trick you, what do you expect will happen?
We'll kill Montezuma and as many Aztecs as we can and fight our way out of Mexico.
One last question, General Cortez. If you do manage to escape, will you do as Prince Cuitlahua says and come back?
Certainly. Do you imagine that I discovered this land only to abandon it? Do you suppose that my men and I have suffered cruel hardships only to be cheated out of our reward? No! They have claimed Mexico in the name of His Catholic Majesty, Charles of Spain. And I shall return and rule it as Governor General.
Thank you, General Cortez. There's still no sign of Montezuma. As you heard, General Cortez and the Aztec commander, Prince Cuitlahua, seem to be in complete disagreement as to what Montezuma will say when he speaks to the prince. From time to time, since this expedition arrived in Mexico City, the Emperor has made statements concerning the Spaniards. We've been broadcasting these statements. Quincy Howe in our news headquarters here in Mexico City has been analyzing tape recordings of these broadcasts for a clue to what Montezuma will do today. He's ready now with his analysis. Go ahead, Quincy Howe.
It's safe to say that if today's events had happened 6 months ago, Montezuma would have commanded the Aztecs to lift the siege and allow the Spaniards to leave Mexico. For the Emperor, at that time, regarded General Cortez and his men with fear and superstitious awe. Just listen, for instance, to this tape recording of a broadcast from the Cortez expedition made on November 8th, 8 months ago, the day the Spaniards arrived at the gateway to Mexico City. The little Spanish party, only 500 men and a few horses and cannon, was surrounded by hundreds of thousands of Aztec warriors. Montezuma had only to say the word, and this huge army would have wiped out the Spaniards. Instead, here is what Montezuma did say to General Cortez.
Oh Lord of ours, descendant of the god Quetzalcoatl, be welcome. You have arrived in your land, Mexico. You have come to sit on your throne. This is indeed what had been told us by the bygone kings and wise men, that you would return to rule these lands.
Montezuma hailed General Cortez as the Messiah of the Aztecs. Cortez and his men entered Mexico City, and the Emperor entertained them lavishly in his great palace. The Emperor's younger brother, Prince Cuitlahua, and other permanent Aztecs argued that the Spaniards were not gods and should be put to death. Montezuma ignored them. The protests continued, and finally, a month later, Montezuma called his nobles together and addressed them as follows.
Nobles of Mexico, it has come to me that some among you still doubt that the strangers have come to Mexico in the name of Quetzalcoatl. These murmurings against the white men must cease. To put all doubts at rest, I myself, your emperor, am ready to acknowledge their authority over our realm. And I call upon you, my vassals, also to acknowledge their great king beyond the waters. Furthermore, I command you to pay him the tribute that you have hitherto paid me.
Montezuma swore fealty to Charles V of Spain. But then, General Cortes invaded the Aztec sanctuaries and smashed the idols. The Aztecs rebelled, and Montezuma was taken hostage. So it must now be clear to Montezuma that the Spaniards are not gods. Having grasped this fact, Montezuma will... Don Hauenbeck, from the top of the Aztec War Gods Temple, reports that Montezuma has come out of the royal palace. Go ahead, Don Hauenbeck.
From our vantage point on top of this Aztec temple 150 feet high, we can see the Emperor Montezuma's litter passing through the courtyard of the palace. As yet, he's blocked from the view of the Aztecs outside the palace by the courtyard wall, but they certainly can hear the music of this royal band of musicians which accompanies the monarch, music produced by a strange assortment of shell horns and drums. The Emperor's litter is carried by 8 of the Aztec nobles who accompanied Montezuma into captivity. These nobles now wear rough cotton cloaks over their rich attire because they are in the presence of their emperor. One noble walks in front of the litter carrying the gold wand, which symbolizes the monarch's sovereignty. Another noble carries the royal banner of the House of Montezuma. It's a flag showing an eagle pouncing on an ocelot. The procession has now reached the gateway from the palace to the square. John Daly at the pavilion now has a better view of the emperor's arrival, so over to him. Go ahead, John Daly.
The Aztecs have seen their emperor approaching. Officers are shouting commands, and the hundreds of thousands of soldiers and civilians in and around the square are prostrating themselves on the ground. Only Prince Cuitlahua remains on his feet. As a member of the royal family, he is permitted to do so in the imperial presence. These Aztecs regard their emperor with supreme fear and awe. Montezuma's litter is lavishly decorated with gold and silver and precious stones, and the royal procession now is almost at the pavilion. Let's listen for a moment to the music. Has come to a halt directly in front of the pavilion. In the center of the pavilion is a throne for the emperor. The nobles who bore the emperor's litter are laying down a carpet between the litter and the throne to protect the imperial feet from the ground. Montezuma waits in the litter, a figure of imperial dignity. Montezuma is about 40 years old, tall, a sallow-faced ascetic, certainly not the warrior king, rather the priest type of emperor. He wears his imperial robe, a blue and white mantle held together at his throat by an emerald clasp of enormous size and value. His feet are shod with gold sandals, and on his brow he wears the crown of Imperial Mexico made of gold and encrusted with jewels. We've seen that crown before on state occasions, and it has a remarkable resemblance to the tiara of His Holiness the Pope in Rome. The resemblance may be mere coincidence, or it could be that Quetzalcoatl, their legendary god who came here long ago, was an early Christian missionary and that he inspired the design of the Aztec crown. Montezuma is descending now from the litter, walks along the carpet to the throne. The multitude still kneels in silent awe. We can see the Spanish soldiers standing by embrasures in the wall, and we can't see their guns, but they must be ready to fire if Montezuma fails to keep his promise. And now Montezuma has reached the throne. He turns to Prince Cuitlahua. The emperor is speaking.
Cuitlahua, my brother, bid my subjects rise.
Warriors of Mexico, your emperor bids you rise.
Like a wave rolling over the great square, the multitude of Aztec soldiers and civilians is rising. Prince Cuitlahua moves toward the emperor, kneels, touches the floor of the pavilion with his right hand, then touches his forehead with the same hand, an Aztec gesture of homage. Royalty, Prince Cuitlahua rises, and now he is speaking.
Sire, your subjects rejoice to see you and hear your voice. We await your command.
I thank you. Prince, my command is that you lift this siege at once and permit General Cortez and the Spaniards to leave Mexico in safety.
By the gods, sire, the invaders have defiled our temples. They have dared to hold you captive. Surely you must now understand that they are enemies of Mexico. Speak the word. Condemn the Spaniards to die.
You have heard my command. Obey.
Are you a woman? Is it because their guns are pointed at you that...
Silence!
I will not be silent. You have no right, sire, to let these men escape. They will return to Mexico. They will overthrow our house. They will make slaves of us and our people.
You dare defy your emperor?
I will not buy your life at the expense of our empire. If your command is to be obeyed, it must be in the direction of the council of priests and nobles. I will consult with them.
I am the ruler of Mexico. Not the council.
True, your majesty. But your command involves the safety of our nation. I cannot take it upon myself. I must consult with the council of priests and nobles.
Prince Cuitlahua kneels rapidly, makes the Aztec gesture of homage, and now he has risen and is walking rapidly back to his party. Montezuma stares at the prince, but now he too has turned, is walking back to his litter. Prince Cuitlahua is talking excitedly with his officers. He and his men know for a fact what they refused to believe before, that their emperor has chosen to betray them in order to save his life. The shock and anger is evident in their faces, and the news has spread like wildfire to the ranks of the soldiers and reached the civilians and the crowds beyond. Montezuma has entered his litter, the carriers lifted to their shoulders and begin to carry the emperor back to the palace. Cuitlahua and his party are moving away across the square toward the temple of the Aztec god of war. The council will probably meet there to reach a decision on the emperor's command. The council is second in authority only to the emperor. Will the council obey Montezuma in this national crisis? For an opinion on that from a member of the emperor's own family, we take you inside the royal palace. Ken Roberts reports.
Here in one of the royal apartments is the Emperor Montezuma's daughter, Princess Tenocha. Only a few months ago, the princess embraced Christianity and is married to one of General Cortez's Spanish officers. The princess assures us that the council will obey her father. Princess Tenocha, will you tell us, please, why you think the priests and nobles will follow the emperor's orders?
The council must obey. It is unthinkable for lesser men to counter the will of their emperor.
But isn't it true, Your Highness, that the priests outnumber the nobles on the council, and don't you think they'll vote against letting the Spaniards go because they hate them for attempting to convert the Aztecs to Christianity?
Yes, the priests hate the Spaniards, but they will vote to obey my father. Montezuma is not only the emperor of Mexico. He is also the high priest of the Aztec faith.
Well, if the priests do yield and allow the Spaniards to escape, would you leave Mexico with them?
My place is with my husband, wherever he goes.
If that happens, Your Highness, do you think you'll ever return to Mexico?
We will return. General Cortez has sworn not to rest until Mexico becomes a Christian nation. The general has sworn to tear down the idol of Huitzilopochtli and erect the true cross of Jesus Christ in its place.
Well, as an Aztec princess, how do you feel about the overthrow of the state religion?
When my father became emperor, 100,000 slaves were put to death on the sacrificial block to celebrate the coronation. Each day in each temple, In every city of Mexico, 4 slaves are put to death as part of the normal daily rites of worship. We Aztecs eat the flesh of human beings. The meat of slaves is served up at the banquet table. I myself, because I lived in ignorance and sin, have eaten human flesh. And may the Lord forgive me. If the house of my father must be overthrown to deliver my people from hideous darkness, I say let it be overthrown. Let the royal house of Mexico perish.
Thank you, Princess Tenochtitlan. Don Hollenbeck at the Temple of the Aztec War God reports the Council of Priests and Nobles has finished its deliberations. Prince Cuitlahua is on his way back to the pavilion outside the palace. There will be some time, though, before he arrives there. Meanwhile, there are other Aztecs in the palace who do not agree with the views just expressed by the Emperor's daughter. One of them is imprisoned below us in the palace dungeons. Doug Edwards is with him. Go ahead, Doug Edwards.
Here in one of the small cells of the royal dungeon, Prince Cacama of Tezcuco is shackled to the wall with a length of heavy chain. A guard is pacing back and forth. Prince Cacama was imprisoned here by Montezuma 5 months ago at the request of General Cortez. The general claimed that the prince was inciting the Aztecs against the Spaniards. Prince Cacama, do you think the Council of Priests and Nobles will obey the Emperor Montezuma's command and permit the Spaniards to leave Mexico?
You see these chains? They are white men's chains, brought here by Cortez to shackle Aztecs. Today I wear the chains, but tomorrow the Spaniards shall wear them. They shall rot here until their hearts are torn out of their breasts and presented to our God.
Then you think the council will refuse to obey Montezuma?
Montezuma has the soul of a slave, the heart of a traitor. He's tried to sell our people into slavery to save his life. But the lords of Mexico will not submit and let a weakling king betray our empire. The Council of Priests and Nobles elected Montezuma emperor. What was done can be undone.
You think the council will depose Montezuma?
They will tear his crown from his head. They will smear his body with filth as a sign of his treason, and give him the death of a traitor. They will order the army to attack the palace and overwhelm the Spanish dogs. They will sacrifice them to the gods to atone for the shame, the dishonor that Montezuma has brought on Mexico.
Thank you, Prince Cacama. John Daly, in the pavilion outside the palace, reports that the Emperor Montezuma is returning to hear the decision of the Council of Priests and Nobles. So back to the pavilion and John Daly.
The Emperor Montezuma's litter is approaching the pavilion, and once again the royal standard bearer walks ahead, and then come the musicians and the procession of courtiers attached to the Emperor's throne. This time the vast crowd of Aztecs in the square do not kneel at the approach of their Emperor. They're silent, but their faces are sullen and resentful. Prince Cuitlahua and his officers are waiting near the pavilion, and they aren't kneeling either. It's very significant that this great mass of soldiers and civilians here should stand as the Emperor enters into the front of the pavilion, but we don't know yet exactly what it means. And even more ominous is the line of spearmen displaying the heads of Spanish soldiers on the tips of their spears. It has been replaced by a line of archers. Now Montezuma's litter has parted. The emperor descends from the litter, walks slowly along the carpet to the throne. He does not look at Prince Cuitlahua as he passes him. This is the moment. If the council's decision is to obey Montezuma, his position on the Aztec throne will be secure. But on the other hand, if Prince Cacama's prediction is borne out here, Montezuma will...
Wait, Montezuma! Do not seat yourself on the throne!
Prince Cuitlahua has stopped Montezuma from ascending the throne. The emperor has stopped and turned toward the prince. There's a look of
Montezuma,
fear on his face. Prince Cuitlahua again.
The council of priests and nobles have found you unworthy because of your cowardice and treason to remain upon the throne of Mexico. The council has stripped you of the crown and scepter. You are deposed.
The council has not the power to depose me.
The priests and nobles of Mexico have condemned you to die.
They cannot.
The man who stands before you is no longer your emperor. He's been condemned to death as a traitor. Kill him.
I am your emperor. Warriors, I command you.
Montezuma has been struck in the breast by an arrow. An arrow from an Aztec bow. He's been hit by another arrow and still another. The company of archers in front of the pavilion are piercing him again and again. Montezuma falls to the ground as the Aztec warriors shout, "Coward! Traitor! Die!" And now on the courtyard wall, the Spanish trumpeters are sounding the alarm. The truce has been broken. Montezuma's desperate effort to save his own life and the lives of Cortez and his men have failed. The man who for 18 years ruled this Aztec empire, an absolute monarch, wealthy and powerful beyond the wildest dreams of Europeans, now lies dead or dying here before the wall of his own palace, struck down by his own people. They've judged him a coward and a traitor, and they've given him a traitor's death. General Cortez's gamble to save himself from
June 30th, 1520. Mexico City. Montezuma betrays the Aztecs and dies at the hands of his own people.
Footnote. After the death of Montezuma, General Cortez and his men fought their way out of Mexico. They returned later, however, with hundreds of thousands of Indian allies and destroyed the empire of the Aztecs. You have been listening to The Death of Montezuma, another broadcast in the series You Are There, produced and directed by Robert Louis Cheyenne. The Death of Montezuma was written by Michael Sklar and Mr. Cheyenne. Montezuma was played by Arnold Moss. Cuitlahua by Joseph DeSantis. General Cortez by Louis Van Ruten. Princess Tenocha by Inga Adams. And Prince Kakama by Canada Lee. Next week,
March 1st, 1805, Washington. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase is impeached. You are there.
On CBS Tonight, Helen Hayes stars in a radio version of Noel Coward's brilliant motion picture, Brief Encounter. Then Eve Arden comes to you as our Miss Brooks, the nation's number one schoolmistress in love. Be sure to listen to these outstanding programs over most of these same CBS network stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.